Today is Thursday, October 9th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Operation Dictatorship. Trump is poised to invoke the Insurrection Act, a statement of the Socialist Equality Party of the U.S. President Donald Trump is poised to invoke the Insurrection Act, a measure that would give him sweeping powers to deploy the military across the United States under his personal control. The plan is a critical escalation in the ongoing conspiracy to establish a presidential dictatorship. NBC News reported Wednesday, under the headline, "Trump Administration Officials Seriously Considering Invoking Insurrection Act," sources say, that, according to unnamed senior White House officials, quote, "debate within the administration has shifted recently to more deeply exploring how and when the act might be invoked," unquote. According to two White House sources, administration officials have gone so far as to, quote, "draft legal defenses and various options for invoking the act," unquote. The claim that the administration is merely exploring the invocation of the act is a transparent lie. In reality, the decision has already been made. NBC News quoted one White House official as saying that the move is not imminent, an effort to sow complacency. In fact, the administration is preparing to invoke the act in connection with definite actions, which may include mass arrests, the violent suppression of opposition, and the deployment of federal troops in cities throughout the United States. A White House statement provided further evidence that the decision to invoke the Insurrection Act has been taken. Quote, "The Trump administration is committed to restoring law and order in American cities that are plagued by violence due to Democrat mismanagement. And President Trump will not stand by while violent rioters attack federal law enforcement officers. The administration will work to protect federal assets and officers while making American cities safe again," unquote. The chronology of events makes clear that Trump is working off a schedule. On Monday, Trump said he would invoke the act, quote, "if it was necessary," unquote, saying if, quote, "courts were holding us up, or mayors or governors were holding us up, sure, I'd do that," unquote. White House aide Stephen Miller then called federal court rulings against the deployment of the National Guard to Oregon an insurrection. Yesterday, Trump hosted an extraordinary roundtable meeting at the White House with far-right and fascist media personalities to discuss the necessary actions to crush Antifa, a catch-all term used to refer to opposition to the fascistic actions of the administration. Trump repeated his threat to arrest Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. The fascist spectacle, which was barely reported in the media, reached new depths when far-right propagandist Jack Posobiec praised Trump for confronting Antifa, tracing its, quote, "various iterations back almost 100 years to the Weimar Republic in Germany," unquote. By referencing Weimar, Posobiec drew a direct historical parallel between anti-fascist resistance to Hitler and current opposition to Trump's dictatorship, lamenting that resistance to fascism had ever existed. Right-wing media figures invited to the White House went so far as to label the Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, a faction of the Democratic Party, as part of a vast, quote, "Antifa network," unquote. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem equated Antifa with, quote, "ISIS, Hezbollah, and Hamas," unquote, while Attorney General Pam Bondi vowed to, quote, "destroy the entire organization from top to bottom," unquote. That is, whoever is declared part of Antifa is to be arrested or killed. The invocation of the Insurrection Act will be used to implement these plans. The 1807 Act authorizes the president to deploy the military inside the United States to suppress insurrections and rebellions. under the 1878 Posse Comitatus Act, the use of the military in domestic law enforcement is generally prohibited. The Insurrection Act stands as the principal exception. In American history, the use of the Insurrection Act, aside from its invocation by Abraham Lincoln following the Confederacy's attack on Fort Sumter in 1861, has been associated with instances of reactionary oppression. President Andrew Jackson used it in 1831 to crush Nat Turner's slave rebellion. In the aftermath of the Civil War, the Insurrection Act became a weapon against the labor movement, deployed against the Great Railroad Strike of 1877, the Pullman Strike of 1894, the coal miner struggles in Colorado and West Virginia, and the 1932 Bonus Army March of Unemployed Veterans on Washington. Now, the Insurrection Act is being invoked on an unlimited national scale to preempt popular opposition and as a pretext for establishing a presidential dictatorship. Beyond suspending habeas corpus, there is no legal authority more sweeping than the Insurrection Act and the entirety of American law. Invoking the act would mean the president would effectively assume de facto and de jure control over urban areas or entire states, essentially replacing the authority of local and state governments. By invoking the act in Portland and Chicago, Trump would be placing them under the control of the military, over which he is commander-in-chief. As a practical matter, if the act is invoked in Portland or Chicago, the military would conduct arrests, set up checkpoints, and organize the detention of perceived enemies of the state. While the Insurrection Act itself does not provide the president with authority to override the federal judicial system, Trump will not observe legal formalities. The response of the corporate media to Trump's preparations is one of silence and complicity. As of Wednesday evening, more than 24 hours after the NBC report that the White House is drafting legal justifications to invoke the Insurrection Act, there was no reference to the threat on the New York Times front page. The Washington Post and CNN likewise buried or ignored the story, even as 500 National Guard soldiers arrived in Chicago under federal command. Among Democratic officials, the response has been no less evasive or cowardly. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, whose state is at the center of the federal military deployments, warned that Trump's actions are aimed at stealing the 2026 midterms and the 2028 presidential elections, and compared the administration's tactics to those of the Nazis. Yet even these statements have been ignored. The congressional leadership, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, have said nothing about the moves to establish a dictatorship, maintaining a complete silence as Trump threatens and targets Democratic officials themselves. Senator Bernie Sanders has also said as little as possible. On Wednesday, he posted a perfunctory statement acknowledging that Trump, quote, is threatening to arrest elected officials and is moving this country to authoritarianism, adding, quote, we won't let you destroy our way of life, unquote. But what will Sanders or the Democrats as a whole actually do to stop the destruction of democratic rights? He proposed nothing. The deliberate downplaying of these developments is itself a political act. Within the political establishment and from the Democratic Party, there is broad acceptance of Trump's course, either because they support it outright as a means of defending capitalist rule, or because they recognize that any serious opposition would require the mass mobilization of the working class, a prospect they fear far more than dictatorship itself. As for the trade union apparatus, as hundreds of thousands of federal workers are being furloughed and the administration carries out a massive assault on jobs and social programs, they propose nothing. Randy Irwin, president of the National Federation of Federal Employees, declared, quote, do your damn job and pass a budget that's going to require a little compromise, unquote, reducing the entire historic attack on the working class to a plea for bipartisan cooperation with the coup regime. There is broad and growing opposition to Trump's actions within the American population. Polls show that substantial majorities reject the deployment of troops to U.S. cities and the criminalization of political dissent. Millions are preparing to take part in the upcoming No Kings demonstrations on October 18th, with more than 2,100 protests already scheduled in cities and towns across the country. Trump is clearly horrified by the scale of this emerging mass opposition, and it is a major factor accelerating his timetable for dictatorship. The time has come to pull off the blinders. Every warning issued by the Socialist Equality Party about the preparations for dictatorship is being confirmed. Every day of this administration demolishes the pretense that the United States remains a functioning democracy. Capitalism can only be maintained through dictatorship. If this continues unchecked, it will be said that American democracy did not die with a bang, but with a whimper. Trump is not acting on his own. He is the personification of the breakdown of capitalism under the weight of insoluble contradictions. His government represents the capitalist oligarchy in its most unvarnished form. The methods now being employed are the methods of the criminal underworld, elevated to the heights of bourgeois society. To halt this descent into dictatorship, the working class must intervene as an independent political and organizational force. Workers must begin forming rank-and-file committees in every workplace, school, and neighborhood to defend their co-workers, resist layoffs and cuts, and organize opposition to the military occupation of American cities. These committees must become centers of resistance, uniting all sections of the working class and linking their struggles into a coordinated offensive against dictatorship and social inequality. The Socialist Equality Party fights to build and expand the International Workers' Alliance of Rank-and-File Committees, or IWARFC, to coordinate these efforts across industries and across borders. This global alliance provides the framework for uniting workers internationally against the common enemy, the capitalist oligarchy that is driving humanity toward dictatorship, war, and poverty. The growing anger over layoffs, the destruction of social programs, and the militarization of society must be transformed into a conscious political movement against the entire system that produced Trump. The working class must advance its own program, the expropriation of the billionaires, the dismantling of the corporate and financial oligarchy, and the reorganization of economic life on the basis of social need, not private profit. The defense of democratic rights is inseparable from the fight for socialism. German Chancellor Merz justifies genocide in Gaza by Peter Schwartz. Countless pupils have read George Orwell's novel 1984 in secondary school. What took place yesterday in Germany, however, surpasses Orwell's dystopian vision. The second anniversary of the start of the Israeli genocide in Gaza was the occasion for a propaganda campaign in which one omission, distortion, and lie was trumped by the next. Hardly a word was spoken, hardly a line published, that did not turn reality on its head. Flags flew at half-mast throughout Germany, and memorial services were held everywhere for the 1,200 Israeli victims of the Hamas attack. At the same time, there was barely a mention of the murder of at least 67,000 Palestinians, the displacement of another 2 million, the use of hunger as a weapon, the destruction of hospitals, schools, and almost all residential buildings in Gaza, as well as all other documented war crimes committed by the Israeli government and army. Silence means consent. The German government is deeply complicit in the crimes of the Netanyahu regime. It supports it with weapons, defends it politically, and cracks down on anyone who protests against the genocide of the Palestinians. The reason is not, and never has been, making amends for the Holocaust. The German government uses the Zionist state to pursue its own imperialist interests in the resource-rich and strategically important region of the Middle East. It supports Israel because, as Chancellor Friedrich Merz admitted in a rare moment of honesty, it, quote, is doing the dirty work for all of us, unquote. The Palestinians stand in the way of complete imperialist control over the Middle East. That is why they must be destroyed. Washington, Berlin, Tel Aviv, and the reactionary Arab rulers all agree on this. This is why they all cheer U.S. President Trump's peace plan, which leaves the Palestinians the option of either renouncing all their rights or being exterminated. The commemorative events on October 7th were a cynical attempt to obscure these facts. They were not aimed at showing solidarity with the victims of October 7th, whose relatives have been protesting against Netanyahu for 2 years, but to intimidate everyone, including the numerous Jews who reject the genocide in Gaza. The highest representatives of the German state all took part. Federal President Frank-Walter Steinmeier visited a synagogue in Leipzig. Bundestag President Julia Klöckner opened an exhibition at Tempelhof Airport that reconstructs the attack on the Nova Music Festival. And Chancellor Friedrich Merz warned in a video address of growing anti-Semitism in Germany. At the Brandenburg Gate, the names of the victims of the Hamas attack were read out in the words, "Bring them home now," projected. In the course of all of this, the entire historical and political background was denied. In the Hamas attack portrayed as an act of terrorism that came out of the blue to strike a peaceful Israel, instead of as a reaction to the 75-year history of the brutal oppression of the Palestinians and the transformation of Gaza into an open-air prison. Hamas itself, an Islamist nationalist organization with no viable perspective, was long promoted by Israel as a counterweight to the PLO, or Palestine Liberation Organization, whose transformation into a compliant instrument of Israel ultimately led to the rise of seemingly more radical Islamists. The claim that Israel was taken by surprise by the Hamas attack has also long been refuted. In fact, Israeli intelligence had known about the plans for months. Nonetheless, all Israeli troops were withdrawn from the border, allowing the lightly armed Hamas fighters to enter Israel unhindered. When Israeli troops finally arrived several hours later, they proceeded so aggressively with combat helicopters and tanks that numerous Israelis, an estimated 360 out of 1,140, were killed by Israeli soldiers and not by Hamas. There's never been an independent investigation into this. The so-called Hannibal Directive, according to which soldiers are killed to prevent them from being taken hostage, is also said to have been implemented. The widespread claim that Israeli women were raped by Hamas fighters has also proven to be pure propaganda. After 14 months, Israeli prosecutor Moran Gaz had to admit that there was no evidence to support such claims. The Netanyahu government, beset by corruption trials and massive opposition, saw the Hamas attack as a welcome opportunity to put its long-worked-out murderous plans into action. In the West Bank, which had nothing to do with the Hamas attack, fascist settlers intensified their terror with the support of the government. Nearly 1,000 Palestinians have been killed there in the past 2 years and 10,000 injured. Israel has also murdered numerous political leaders and scientists in Lebanon and Iran. All these crimes are supported and covered up by the German government and all the parties in the Bundestag. The left party, Die Linke, is no exception, even if it supports some of the protests against the Gaza war pro forma. Left party leaders Ines Schwertner and Jan van Eyken published a statement on October 7th that hardly differs from the line taken by the federal government. They too condemned the, quote, terrorist attack by Hamas, unquote, which they say, quote, destroyed the fundamental idea of the State of Israel, which is to provide security for Jews, unquote. And they, too, describe it as their duty to, quote, combat anti-Semitism in Germany, unquote. The rise of anti-Semitism in Germany, which both Chancellor Merz and the Left Party invoke, is another Orwellian distortion. There is no doubt that anti-Semitism exists in Germany, but its main source is the ranks and milieu of the far-right Alternative for Germany, or AfD, whose leaders have described the Holocaust as a, quote, piece of fly shit, unquote, in an otherwise glorious German history, quoted from Alexander Garland in the Holocaust Memorial as a, quote, disgrace for Germany, Bjorn Höcke. At the same time, the AfD stands firmly behind the Israeli government, whose actions against the Palestinians are fully in line with the AfD's own hostility towards Muslims and migrants. The figures released describing a rapid increase in, quote, anti-Semitic incidents, unquote, cited by Merz, the Left Party, and numerous press reports, indiscriminately mixes genuine anti-Semitism with criticism of the Israeli government. Thus, every poster, slogan, and protest directed against the genocide becomes an, quote-unquote, anti-Semitic incident. The figures come from the Federal Association of Research and Information Centers on Anti-Semitism, or RIAS, which counts 8,627 anti-Semitic incidents nationwide for the year 2024, 77% more than in the previous year. According to its own information, RIAS records, quote, incidents above and below the threshold of criminal liability from the perspective of those affected, unquote. A report or denunciation is insufficient for an incident to be included in the statistics. RIAS writes, quote, most of the documented incidents with a clear political and ideological background were related to anti-Israel activism. A total of 5,857 cases could be classified accordingly, unquote. Any protest against the Israeli government is thus registered as an anti-Semitic incident. As examples of relativizing the Shoah, Riosh cites, among other things, the following anti-Semitic slogans. One Holocaust does not justify another, or nothing learned from the Holocaust. This means that, according to Riosh, any comparison of the genocide in Gaza with the Shoah is by definition anti-Semitic, and thus included in its statistics on anti-Semitic incidents. Support for the genocide in Gaza and the slander and suppression of opposition to it must be understood in the context of the massive rearmament and attacks on social services and the living standards of the working class. Faced with the growing crisis of global capitalism, the ruling class, starting with Trump in the United States, is turning once again towards war and fascism. Only an independent socialist movement of the working class can stop this development. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.